Welcome to Stu's EV Universe, where you can find anything and everything electric vehicle.
Today, I have the pleasure of having Michelle Pierce on the podcast. Michelle is founder of EV Nirvana, which is a company dedicated to the promotion, education, advocacy, and sales of plug-in electric vehicles. Welcome, Michelle.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I guess just to start things off, can you tell us a little bit about EV Nirvana? I believe that it's something that you started about 8 years ago.
Yes. Back in 2015, I retired from my job and was planning on being an engineer somewhere else, somewhere in the energy saving and energy conservation type or utility type. And I interviewed, but when you're older, it's harder to get a job.
Right.
And so I looked around different sources, and a lot of places like the AARP type places suggested, you know, it's very difficult to get a job over 55. So just go ahead and start your own business. So I was trying to figure, well, what am I good at and what are my passions? And I was filling in the time with, because I still needed the money, with odd jobs. And near where I lived at the time, there was a place advertising, and I had seen the vehicles driving around. Mannheim, they're a huge nationwide auction house, if that's the best way, for used cars.
Okay.
And so there was a Mannheim less than 5 miles from where I lived. And so I got a job there. And so my job was just driving the cars around to where they needed to be. And a couple times I'd like take my time going through the auction, because I wasn't involved with the auctions, but during break time or whatever, I'd just walk through. And I noticed, because I had a 2012 Nissan Leaf that I had leased, and the lease was coming up at the end of the either at the end of 2015 or early in 2016, and so this is 2015, and I saw that basically my Leaf was going through auction at a fraction of what I had paid for it. And, at first I was like, whoa. But then I thought, oh, good. That means people can afford to buy it, because it was a stretch for me to lease that vehicle. And, that's one of the main reasons I needed to keep working, is to keep making the car payment. So, I went to some type of retreat somebody had offered for me to go to. And, the idea came to me that I need to start a business to help people get into used EVs. Where I worked also, we're making pretty close to minimum wage doing what we're doing. A lot of people don't, this, for me, it was side income. For most people, it was their main income. And there's this one lady I worked with, and she had an older car, and the boyfriend always was working on it. And she would have to take the bus quite a ways. And then there was no way to get from the closest bus stop or the hub to where work was. So she'd call me and I'd go pick her up. And I'm thinking, you know, the Leaf would be a perfect vehicle for somebody like that because there's no tinkering. It just works.
Right.
And I'm trying to remember, I think they were going for like something ridiculous, like less than 9,000, like maybe 8,000 at the time. And this is 2015. And these are 3-year-old cars.
Right.
That were selling for 40. So, you know, that's how EV Nirvana came to be.
Well, but, and that's, yeah, I mean, that's something super valuable, because I think if you're involved, there are so many EV car groups out there and car clubs, and I think it's really easy to be kind of stuck in this whole, like, oh, let's show our EVs off, and here's the latest and greatest, and this is how much it costs, and they're starting to come down in price, but historically, you know, it's a relatively new technology, in a way. It's been expensive, and early adopters are paying a premium, you know, for these vehicles. But like you said, it's important to kind of bring everybody in when it comes to electric vehicles. And so I think that's a super valuable thing to be doing. What are some of the kinds of things that you do as far as kind of achieving your mission, you know, in spreading the word about, you know, more affordable electric vehicles, getting it to an audience that perhaps needs to be educated, I assume. I mean, everybody needs to be educated for EVs.
Yes, exactly.
Because while it's a car, you know, there are things that are unique to it, you know. So what are those? What does that look like with what you do?
Well, way back then, because things are way different now.
Right.
I, you know, became involved with all the small business groups, all the community-based organization type groups, and started just, you know, perfected my EV 101 speech. At the time, the business did not take off because I didn't have funding. So I was there trying to do my spiel and try and maybe get some benevolent person to lend me the money to start the business, because getting into auto sales is not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So in the very beginning, it was just going around and telling people about this, you know, here are EVs, they're new, but, you know, for people on the lower income area, it is perfect for, you know, families, to where you're not constantly fixing your car. And at the time, the in Southern California, we have South Coast Air Quality Management District. And they had started their program of you can turn in a vehicle that won't pass smog, and, you know, they crush it, but you get up, I think it was up to like $12,000, depending if you are on the lower end, the lower your income, and if you bought a pure battery electric, I think it was as much as $12,000 off, or could have been less. But it was a sliding scale. And so I started telling everybody about that, and actually met people, you know, at charging stations that they got their car for free, basically. You know, most of them were back in those days were the Leaf.
The affordability thing. I mean, and you brought up a good point about even, you know, used cars that are gas vehicles or diesel vehicles, it might seem like a good deal when you're getting, you know, that car. But then, I mean, my wife and I went through it where we had, you know, really lean days, you know, times. And it just seemed like our cars were in the shop all the time. And when your car's in the shop, it's how do you get to work? There's all these kind of logistical things that are a real thing, and with electric vehicles, I always felt like for folks that are on like have a limited amount of money, that they can spend, but they have a relatively predictable, route that they take day in and day out, whether it's people that are lower income, people that are on a, older people that are on a fixed salary, or fixed income. What a wonderful thing to have an electric vehicle because you're going to be really saving a ton of money and not having to worry about, fixing the car all the time because you're talking about like 20 moving parts compared to like 2,000 moving parts. A huge, huge thing.
Yeah, in Southern California too, well, in California in general, because gas prices are the same throughout the state. We're at the vol at the mercy of the volatility of gas prices to add to all that. And so, like, for example, that coworker of mine at Manheim, the cheapest cars were the big old gas guzzlers, right? So not only was her boyfriend, constantly fixing it up, she had to pay for gas, and she had quite a distance to go. So it was, everything it pointed down to that one situation where, I think she had like 15 or 20 miles one way to get to work. And it was, I just felt for her, so.
Well, and that's the other thing. I think in general, people overestimate the amount of driving that they do. And I did something when I first, because I'm also a Leaf person. I started out with a Leaf and really was wondering if I should buy the vehicle, if it would be enough, because I drove a lot at that point. And I set my trip odometer for a week. Every day I would reset it, and I realized, oh, I'm not driving as much as I thought I was driving, and the car actually with regular charging would absolutely fit my needs. So I think, yeah, I mean, the education piece is just so important. I love the name EV Nirvana. How did you come up with that?
Back in 2011, 12, and forward on all the Facebook groups, forums, whatever, EV Nirvana was a term used for the ultimate EV. I think people at the time were talking about the Tesla being EV Nirvana. And I started looking around. I was like, nobody has that name for a company, back in 2015. Let me try it. And so I did it. I got the name.
Yeah, I love that.
So they don't use the term so much anymore because there's just so, because they're out there, but back in the early days, that was a really popular term for, and for me, EV Nirvana wasn't like the best, fanciest car. It was my coworker, somebody that would benefit from an affordable means to get to work or to get the kids to school or whatever. And for me, it was a big advocate for clean air, living in the smoggiest part of the country. Clean air is my EV Nirvana. So it kind of all fit.
No, that's great. That's absolutely great. Yeah, and I mean, the money you save with an electric vehicle, really for anybody, but, you know, especially if money is tight, you know, that money could be going to other uses and
exactly.
really kind of raise people up and raise families up.
Exactly.
You know, if people are smart with their money and realize this as an opportunity.
And that's what I love about fast forward to today, where it's a well-known benefit of owning an EV is the money you save in transportation. You have money to, you know, pay for kids' football team or, you know, dance or whatever. You have that extra money that you're not spending on gas. And for me, when I bought my Leaf, it was a big, big stretch for me. But what I was paying in gas per month, I still have the truck, but it sits most of the time. I have a gas guzzler Dodge Ram 1500, and it's a Hemi.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does. Takes premium.
Yeah, that does eat gas, yes.
So what I was paying on gas for that vehicle was more than the monthly payment on my Leaf.
Right.
So I was saving a ton of money every month by just parking the truck. It's amazing the difference. And at the time I lived in a house, so I could, you know, just charge from home at night. And for me, because I lived by myself, I just didn't have a lot of high usage. My electric bill only went up like $20-$30 a month. So right. It was negligible in comparison to what, you know, the like $120 a week in gas at that time. So what, four times that is what I was paying in gas.
That's what I usually tell people is the savings is about four times. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And money talks, whether you, you know, want to do it for environmental reasons or whatever.
Exactly.
I think the common ground is who doesn't want to, you know, save some money. That's
exactly
great.
Yeah. Exactly.
So do you have any, like in those years, any specific kind of success stories that kind of stick out as kind of
For me, it was just that, as you know, the more I became involved with different, I'll tell you the end result in a minute, but it was just so rewarding for me. And I found like what I'm not good at public speaking. Especially at the time, it was really nerve wracking for me. And I was in Toastmasters before all this when I was working. I joined the Toastmasters Club at work. Right. So I got more comfortable at it. But I found that when I talked about EVs and, you know, the reason why I formed EV Nirvana and the benefits and everything, that it's like it wasn't uncomfortable. I actually looked forward to speaking in group in front of groups if that was my topic. And, you know, I had people, more than one, that said, oh, you come alive when you start talking about EVs.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, oh, okay. Because, you know, when you're up there, it's like you have no idea if you're reaching people. But I did get a lot of really good positive feedback. And the more, you know, it was just small groups in the beginning. And then, you know, other people in the industry, you know, started getting involved with more EV-based groups. And then to even like our local utility is Southern California Edison, becoming involved with groups for them. And now it's standard here in California anyway, that it's like there are so much programs out there to help people getting to electric vehicles because you know, number one, the benefits to climate, you know, to fight climate right. change, to get off the dependence on fossil fuels, to have people be able to get around without driving these clunkers. And these this replace your ride type programs are all over California now. There's a group in Central California called Valley Can, and they hold weekly events, you know, not just the replace your ride part, but to get people to stop, to either get their cars fixed, you know, help provide money to get their cars fixed, or, you know, do the replace your ride thing. So there's a huge government push and money involved to get dirty cars off the road.
Well, that's so great to hear. But not it like it's not like that here in Kentucky. So it's good to be reminded that there are places where these kinds of things happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only thing we have is the federal, which is great. You know, the federal incentives.
You but
know.
You guys just don't have the volume of vehicles on the road that
Southern
Cal or any part of California has. It's just sea of cars on these freeways.
Right.
You know, four lanes in each direction just stopped. And just think about it. Each of those cars is polluting just sitting there, right?
Right.
In an EV, when you just sit there, number one, you're not using any energy because you're just sitting there. And so you're not polluting, but you look around and all these other cars, you know, the cars are a lot cleaner now because of all these rules, but they're still putting noxious fumes in the air.
Right.
Just sitting there. And so it's like, I've posted a few times on Facebook about how, maybe it was LinkedIn. Somebody had posted this picture of the child that, you know, she didn't like the smell of fumes. This is in England or something. And it brought it way back to when I was a kid. And the smell of exhaust has always made me nauseous.
Mm.
And it's like, wow, you know, that's part of why the clean air. That plus my youngest daughter at the time had asthma. And so it was kind of hard to see her struggle to breathe at times.
Right.
So those are the two reasons why clean air is important to me. The smell of the fumes and the you know, dirty air causing asthma attacks. So
and more often than not, you know, our last podcast was on EVs and health, and you know, the communities that are typically the poorest communities are typically right around the highways where the impact of all these fumes is the worst. So
exactly,
to get these cleaner transportation options out to those communities and spread the word like you're doing is super, super valuable.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah.
But unfortunately I don't, EV Nirvana, I did find money to scrape by and it actually got off the ground in terms of the car sales. This is back in 2017, 18. And so there was a local area company that they to provide an affordable means of monthly payments, and you have this little tiny closet office space. So all your sales were online. And so I did that and then realized, you know what? I'm not a salesperson. I've always known that, but I discovered that most people don't want the education. They just want the car. They want to see the car. And at the time I had the base model that, you know, tell me what kind of car you want. I'll try and get it at auction at the price you want. But for most people, no, they wanted a car right then and there. And I just do not have that genetic makeup to sell cars. So the company folded in terms of selling the cars. But I still talk about right now, my focus is I belong to the Electric Vehicle Charging for All Coalition. Most of the people live in the Bay Area, but the next step is access to charging. And I now live in apartments, and there's no place to charge when you live in an apartment.
Right.
So we pushed and pushed for the government agency that makes the code for new buildings, and got them to change, to put new code in that benefits all new buildings, that charging will be ubiquitous in all new buildings.
That's great. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, and it's like you can't do it on your own. So thankfully, it's like 10 of us that we all feel very strongly. We all have very different backgrounds from each other, but we all have that one cause. And I'm not the most eloquent person. You know, there's people on there that are just amazing speakers. And I get too emotional at times because it's so personal.
Right.
So I'm just like, I'm the sample. I live in an apartment. You know, I'm a senior citizen. I have an EV. Where do I charge my EV, kind of thing? So, but it's really, really, don't make any money at it, but it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? It just soothes my soul that we did make a difference.
Right.
You know, as a group, we made a difference.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. What are you driving these days? I know you said that the Leaf is history.
Well, the Leaf wasn't history until 2020.
Okay.
I leased it, and because I didn't have the income to, you know, if I turned it back in, I would have to qualify, in 2015 for a new EV.
Right.
Or even to even go someplace and buy an EV, kind of thing. And just didn't qualify at the time because the money wasn't there. So I thought, let me just keep it or try to keep it and see what happens. And, you know, they lowered the payment and bought it. Paid way too much for it. But, you know, because, you know, they're going through auction at less than $10,000. And I bought mine for like 24,
wow. Okay. I think is what,
because it was so expensive back in 2012. So,
right.
You know, the residual, I think they call it, was still really high.
Right.
Nobody did what I did.
Right.
At least I didn't meet anybody that did what I did, but I bought mine. So I kept it till 2020. And that's in 2019 is when I moved into an apartment, when my Leaf did not have DC fast charging. In 2012, it didn't make a big difference, but in 2020, it did. So I had gotten a job that still part-time, but at least wasn't minimum wage, and was having problems charging. And so just thought, let me go try. And I went to a Chevy dealer that a friend told me that they're used to dealing with people with problem credit reports.
Right.
And sure enough, I paid a lot of money, a lot more than they were going for, but I got an Oasis Blue Chevy Bolt. Love that car. So that's what I drive now. Do all my charging at DC Fast. Yesterday, the reason I was so tired this morning was I live in San Diego region right now, and I drove up to the Central Valley to Tulare. My job right now is it's an engineering firm that we work for the government to do the design for EV charging or government agencies, you know, because California is really moving forward in electrification. So all the government facilities need to have EV charging at the facility to provide for electrification. So part of what I do is I go and I meet with, in this case, it was Caltrans people and DGS, and we decide, you know, how are we going to get charging? You know, I'm an engineer, so I know about what it takes to, you know, the service, if the service can provide it, figure it out. And it's just amazing, the collaboration. Everybody's trying to accomplish the same thing. So if my brain doesn't come up with a solution, somebody else's brain does. And just, it's such a rewarding job to have right now. So it's 250 miles from here.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
I had to drive up there, you know, go through the site assessment and then drive home.
Right.
And everything's fine until you get to Southern California and then there's traffic.
Right.
So, but yeah, so I'm exhausted today.
Well,
but it's a rewarding job.
Oh, it sounds like it. That's great. And I mean, charging is just such a big piece of this, you know. I mean, what do you see as the future as far as more affordable EVs, better access to charging for folks that are in apartments or condos or, you know, without access to, you know, home charging? You know, it seems like, you know, there's a push now for, I mean, Rivian just had a event where I love those one more thing moments. You know, they're kind of few and far between these days, but they came out with the smaller Rivian.
The R3, yeah.
Yeah, and more affordable. And it just seems like, I've never been a big fan of like the large SUVs, and it just seems like they're everywhere these days. But maybe because of, you know, the cost of borrowing, you know, the inflation and everything, they're seeing smaller vehicles as the key to more sales, which is a great thing, you know. I mean, the Bolt has sort of been almost a yo-yo. You know, they've kind of taken it off the market. Are they going to put it back on the market? Yes, but then
so
when?
It's so frustrating.
I have a Bolt too. I love it.
Such a great car. I don't know what their problem is.
And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's margins, and I guess they make more money on these fancier vehicles with, you know, more options and stuff. But I always look and, you know, kind of in envy of overseas, they have, what is it, the Honda E, you know, it's a small car and, you know, maybe it doesn't have a ton of range, but not everybody needs a ton of range. You know, some people do, but small cars can be attractive and they can have everything you need. And just by their nature, they're typically less expensive.
Yeah.
So I mean, what do you
Southern
see
California,
as the future? Yeah.
Well, in Southern California, we had a lot more options than Kentucky did. We had the Fiat 500e in
right.
the early days. We had the Spark EV. Lots of, you know, compliance cars.
Right.
And, you know, even though they were compliance cars, they still did the job. The Fiat 500e didn't have access to fast charging. That was its downfall. But people
right.
that have them still have them, even though you can't buy them new.
Yeah, I know somebody with one.
They love those cars.
Yep.
But yet, we can't buy them. And why didn't they just start making them with DC fast? You know, all
right.
these questions. And I think the only thing that's going to make a difference is the car manufacturers realizing that EVs are the future, because obviously they don't realize. Tesla, VinFast, and, you know, the Korean companies to a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only ones really that Rivian,
right.
Fisker, they're the only ones that realize that EVs are the future, and they put everything they have into these cars. And people that have them love them. Right now, my goal, you're talking about, you know, the bigger ones. It's like I saw the Kia EV9.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
I decided that's my next car. I have five grandkids. So
so you actually deserve to be in that car. There are a lot of people that you see it's one little person in the front and that's it.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty that drives me crazy. EV, even though you're one person in this big car, you are not polluting the air.
Right.
You are not using gas just sitting in your car on the freeway.
Right.
So it kind of evens out. Anyway, so I think that's the only thing that's really going to make a difference is for the actual manufacturers to realize and to help the struggling ones. Like yesterday, there was stuff online about how Fisker is looking at talking to bankruptcy.
Nissan. Yeah, right. And they're talking to Nissan, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, really? Nissan too?
Well, I think Fisker is looking for...
Oh, yeah, to collaborate.
To collaborate,
I'm hoping they do. There's a Fisker. Yeah. I live in North San Diego County, and the Fisker dealer is right across the freeway from me. And it's like, I drive by and just kind of drool. They are just gorgeous, gorgeous cars.
Right.
And I just wish that people realize, but, you know, the problem is, they're more expensive than the average person can afford. And where I live, there's nothing but apartments on this side of the freeway and nothing but apartments on the other side of the freeway too.
Right.
So it's like for people that, okay, they may want an EV, but not everybody is willing like I am to sit at a DC fast charge for an hour to charge.
Right.
So, you know, it's a combination of the manufacturers being committed to it and the access to charge at home for everyone.
Right.
That's what's going to make all the difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just find it, how can a legacy automaker that produces gas and diesel vehicles say they're all in on EVs when EV is the long game, you know, and they're kind of beholden to their stakeholders and they want to, you know, it's a capitalist society. They want to bring in as much money as possible. And the easier route in the short term is to just keep doing what they were doing. So you hear these stories about, oh, well, people just want these hybrids and they want these plug-in hybrids. And no, I think you want to sell people those things because you want to buy more time. You know, that's my personal take on
you
that.
You hit the nail on the head because the problem with those plug-in hybrids is if you live in an apartment, where are you going to plug it in?
Right.
So you're not changing the game with the plug-in hybrid.
Yeah.
I know I remember this person that was in the energy efficiency field that bragged that, her husband bought a Prius plug-in just for the access to the carpool lane. And even though they lived in a house, they never plugged that thing in.
Yep.
And I was almost disgusted by it, but I didn't go the way I wanted to go. So I just shut up.
Yeah, I can kind of do you one better. There's our local utility here. I remember early on in my days with the EV group here, we went on a field trip and to check out. They had a solar, I think it's called Beam now, charger, awesome. EV charger. So that was like, oh, this is great. We get to see this really cool thing. And at the time they had Chevy Volt EVs, the plug-in hybrid. Mm-hmm. And, they were, you know, we were talking to them about the charger and the battery bank for the charger and the cars. And they said, oh, the people that were showing us the Canopy charger were like, oh yeah, these EVs, or one of them, I think, it's malfunctioning and the EV part of it doesn't work. So we just run it on gas all the time. And I'm thinking, here they are promoting it as like this cleaner thing, and it's deceptive,
Yes.
It's kind of, it's greenwashing, they,
exactly.
They're showing exactly. that, oh, we're doing these wonderful things, but actually they're not,
exactly.
they're not taking the time to fix the problem and be greener, so it's kind of disappointing.
And as a side thing with the Volts, something I'm noticing is, the people that never did plug them in, so they've only been used as a gas car, they have a lot of problems.
Right.
Because that's not the design. The design was to plug it in.
Right.
So people that buy the used ones, they're still at that same point of constantly fixing them.
Right.
Because if the first owner or the previous owner only used gas mode, it just is not, it's not good.
It's not the way it was designed. That's right. That's
exactly.
Right. Well, this has been great. Is there anything that I haven't touched on that you'd like to talk about, or?
No.
Okay.
We had a really good conversation, covered everything. I like the way you began. I'm sorry that EV Nirvana never did take off, but I'm still using the name for now until I can't.
I think education is a super important piece, and I'm glad that you're still doing that. And hopefully some of the listeners will be inspired to do things similar, because there are a lot of communities that really would benefit from, at the very least, learning about this as an option. I think that's the
exactly.
That's
they only hear
step.
The negative and the false,
right?
The myths, and it's like, no, that's not what it is.
No, that's absolutely right. Well, thank you. This has really been a pleasure. I really appreciate you spending some time with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Stu's EV Universe. I would like to thank Eden Unger for creating the artwork and the music for this episode. Remember, please rate, review, subscribe, and share, as that's the only way we can continue to grow. Now you can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/stewsevu. Remember, the EV revolution runs on your energy. I'm Stuart Unger. See you next time.